Hello and welcome to The Crumb, a podcast from Bake From Scratch magazine. We're here to talk baking in all forms, the people, the culture, and the baked goods that make us run to preheat our oven. Hello and welcome back to The Crumb. This is Kyle Grace Mills, the associate editor at Bake From Scratch magazine.
And I'm Brian Hart Hoffman, the editor-in-chief of Bake From Scratch and a passionate home baker. I am so excited to be back on The Crumb with you, Kyle Grace. We have an amazing episode today, all about baking and podcasting. But first, I want to know what you've been baking.
Well, from our May-June issue, we have an amazing vanilla feature that really taps into the many ways you can use vanilla, because I think that people throw it into their baking and just don't even think about what it actually brings. With each of these recipes, it really highlights how vanilla transforms baking. So I did the vanilla malted milk cake. And I actually messed up. I thought that I had 3 8-inch cake pans. I did not. I had 2 9-inch cake pans, which is not a reason to quit and stop. You have to keep going. If you want to bake something, bake it. So the way to adapt some pans to another one is to fill about halfway full or 2/3 way full so that you know that you're not over baking it. And whatever leftover batter you have, if you're using it to 2 pans from 3 pans, you can put that in a cupcake pan or muffin tin and have little mini cakes on the side. But keep going. You don't have to stop just because you don't have the perfect pans. And it's fun to kind of troubleshoot every once in a while in the kitchen.
I couldn't agree more. I love taking different recipes and baking them in different pans to see if it works as a bundt cake, if it works as a loaf cake. I think it's a great way to be creative and try new things. So we're keeping it fresh and interesting in the kitchen. And let's be honest, letting vanilla shine was obviously our point in doing this vanilla story. And I love the smell of vanilla. I love the flavor of it in baking. But you have an extra obsession for baking with malt.
I do. I grew up with my dad always taking us to this special ice cream place. And his favorite thing in the world is a vanilla malt. And he, you know, conveyed it to us. And so I've always had a special place in my heart for vanilla malt anything.
And so that cake is the perfect tribute.
It was delicious. It was a winner. He loved it.
Yay.
So I'm dying to know. Tell me about what you were baking this weekend.
So a little bit like what you just said about the childhood memories of vanilla and malt, I fell in love with baking when my mom would make banana bread. Like, I can still remember the taste of the batter, the smell when it came out of the oven. I have loved banana anything for as long as I can remember. And on our recent trip to Bermuda, where we brought an amazing story to the pages of Bake From Scratch with this Bermudian baking feature that covered a bakery tour and time spent on a farmer's market, like where the banana grove was. I mean, so much that was so gorgeous and visual, but I fell in love with a recipe at Windy Bank Farm for their banana snickerdoodles. They sell them at the farm market, and I simply asked if she would share the recipe with us. And she gratefully, like with excitement, was like, I will absolutely send it to you. I'll send you as many recipes as you want. So as an aside, she also has an amazing banana chutney that she sells. So anyway, my banana obsession was taken to a whole new level that day. But I made the banana snickerdoodles, and I love snickerdoodles. I love banana anything. They are so delicious and obsessive. I found a new favorite snickerdoodle. So I made banana snickerdoodles. I will make them again. I think it is the perfect way to use just 2 bananas. You don't have to have a whole batch that's turned brown. You can use just 2 that are left over. So it's a great, great cookie recipe that I'm in love with.
Well, I guess the only catch is that there is something special about Bermudan bananas. You know, they have a particularly sweet flavor, don't
they?
Yeah,
I will say the bananas grown in Bermuda do taste sweeter. They're smaller in size. They're not, you know, in the U.S. we see bananas that are sometimes 12 and 13 inches long in the grocery.
They might as well be plantains.
Yeah. So you don't see that in Bermuda. But these small, sweet bananas, they were amazing. So I definitely now have a motivation to go back to Bermuda so that I can go buy the cookies at the farm market and eat their amazing produce.
So let's jump into our amazing interview we have set up for today. We're getting a little meta, and we're having a baking podcaster on our baking podcast. We're welcoming Amanda Faber, the winner of the second season of The Great American Baking Show and co-host of Flower Hour.
So I've been on the Flower Hour podcast a few times, and I could not wait to turn the tables and get her input on podcasting and her other amazing specialty, cake and cake decorating.
Amanda is an artist as well as a baker, and you can easily see that on her Instagram page with these rainbow buttercream palettes and abstract piping designs.
So, without further ado, let's welcome Amanda onto The Crumb.
Hello, Amanda, and welcome to The Crumb.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
We are so excited. This is, for me, a perfect role reversal. I have been a guest on your podcast twice, and the day has arrived that we have The Crumb here at Bake From Scratch, and we are so excited to have you on the show with us.
I am thrilled, and I'll try to be on my best behavior. I'm used to kind of running the interviews, but I'll try to be a well-behaved guest as much as I possibly can.
Well, you take it any way you want it to go. That's one reason we love you, and you're a friend of Bake From Scratch, and having you on is in part because of your podcast, but you have so much more that you do in the baking world, and we can't wait to chat with you about all of it. But first, I want to make sure that I mention and talk to you and acknowledge again how amazing it is that you and I have a pretty special shared history. So Amanda and I were both flight attendants before we started our journey in the baking world and then our podcasting world. And then now here we are as friends and colleagues. But I love talking about the things that make us all unique. And one thing that I love that we share in common is that we spent some years in the sky.
For sure. A lot of time up there. It's weird. Like, as you listed off, I'm like, we have quite parallel lives. Yeah. So you need to start painting, and I'm going to kick off my magazine. So
I like it. Okay. We've got that added to the list for challenges. But one thing I love and I always talk about was my years as a flight attendant really did influence so much of my baking. I really fell in love with baking because of travel and wanting to recreate things that I tasted and experienced in the years flying. So did you have any kind of story similar to that? Did you find yourself inspired or tasting unique things and then going home and getting in the kitchen and baking? Or did you just fly and enjoy the travel aspect? I think you met your husband flying too, if I'm not mistaken.
I did. I met him. So he's my biggest takeaway from that time in my life. But yeah, I think baking is all about telling stories and connecting with people, whether it's the making part or the eating part. It's definitely a connecting kind of hobby, so or career, whatever it may be for you. But I think it's impossible to not draw from your life. And certainly there's things that I make because I ate them when I was traveling, either for fun or for work. And then, you know, sometimes I'll taste something and it'll take me back. But oh, absolutely. I mean, very, very connected. One thing I was just talking to Jeremiah about a couple of days ago was dulce de leche. The first time I tasted that was in Argentina, and I'm putting that in a cake, and it's like I'm there. I'm back in this place. So it's very, very connected, and I'm sure you know this.
Yeah, I mean, flavors absolutely bring back the memories. You know, people talk about music. It does the same thing. You hear a song and you're reminded of a time in your life. The same thing is true for flavors. And we taste things, and then when we recreate them at home, it takes you back, and the memories from that experience, it's really cool. So speaking of Jeremiah and your podcast, your history with him started because you were both on The Great American Baking Show. Amanda won the second season, and not long after, you guys decided to start your podcast, Flower Hour. What makes Jeremiah the perfect yin to your yang in the baking podcast co-host chair?
I love that you guys made me the yang. I always want to be the yang. I was like, oh yeah, I'm the yang. So what makes him the perfect yin to my yang? Well, we have a lot in common. So I think that we approach a lot of things in a similar way, which is nice. It makes it easy to relate to him. And I really, really like him. That's the first thing is, if you're going to sit and talk, I mean, you guys know this, like, you wouldn't have chosen to work with each other in this way if you didn't enjoy having a conversation. And we were doing that anyway. So he's a great podcast co-host for me, just because I like to talk to him. But then with regards to baking, we approach it in a similar way, but we're very different. I think if you dug down really, really deep at the core of me, you would find like peanut butter and jelly and Oreos and chocolate and caramel. And my most exotic ingredient inside would probably be hazelnut. Mm-hmm. But I think if you went inside of Jeremiah's baking soul, you'd find like all of the exotic ingredients that are really, really exciting and a little bit more maybe fancy or adventurous, I would say. And that's authentic to him. So I think we have different approaches with flavors and then like genres of baking. He's gone really deep on bread. And then I've gone really deep on cake. So we complement each other that way, where I care about bread. I like to talk yeah. about bread. So yeah. I'm not anti-bread, but it's not a place that I've buried myself into. Whereas, you know, cake, I've gone completely bananas with, and he's the same. He likes cake. He's certainly not anti-cake, but it's not the place where he's gone quite as deep. So I think we complement each other that way, so we can talk about a broad range of baking topics.
Absolutely.
So you've now been podcasting for almost 2 years. And you've had so many incredible people on your show and people we've had in our magazine. And of all the people you've talked to, you know, what are some of the biggest highlights? I know it's picking favorites and it's not fair, but we love to hear, you know, some of the pieces of advice and just exciting things you've heard that have changed your outlook on baking.
Sure. So, yeah, it's really hard. I would have to say, like, I really appreciate every guest who's come on. Like, of course, like, you can't help but have certain people that you connect a little bit more with or less with, but everybody's been very, very generous. So, I mean, I honestly have a soft spot for every single episode, but that's such a dud answer. So I cut to it. It's like, I'm going to tell you. And Brian, I'm not going to say anything about you because I feel like that's so biased that it would just be
that
too
would,
cheesy.
That would seem like we planned
my
it.
My favorite.
Yeah.
So I'm just skipping you as if you've never been a guest.
Okay.
The bias is too real here. But Claire Pitak, like, she inspired me so much at very like critical places in my baking. And she's the one who made the royal wedding cake for Harry and Meghan. And so having her on was pretty spectacular. I mean, I felt like degrees of separation from royalty. We were there with that. And she was so generous with talking about starting a business and writing books and food styling. She just has this really broad range of experience. And I mean, she's just somebody that, you know, like, you read people's books or you read things about them, and then it's surreal to be talking to them and having a conversation. And she was so lovely. Anyway, so that was a big high point for me. And then Helen Goh, that's our most recent episode. And she has such interesting stories, and she kind of shared a lot about her. We asked her a lot of questions, and she was kind to answer about her childhood and how she came to baking. And she had a previous career as a psychologist. And so just she's a very, I think, different approach to baking, which is lovely to learn. So that was definitely a high point. Yesterday, we recorded our 50th episode.
Wow.
That's certainly a big deal.
Congratulations.
That's a lot of freaking talking.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Yeah, so that was a high point. So I'd say that. And then as far as like things that we've gotten from the guests, so you would think it would be a lot of technical information, and we get that. Like, we learn things about, you know, we did a cookie episode with you, Brian, and with Aaron of Cloudy Kitchen, and we learn about cookies and we talk about the technical things. But sometimes what I'm most excited is like the broader, more emotional things that we hear from people who have ridden this huge arc with baking or cooking. And like David Late, he said, I don't know if you guys know his story, but he has a book about notes on a banana peel and kind of writing these really encouraging things on a banana peel. His mom used to do that for him. And we asked him what he would write on a banana peel, if he could write on a banana peel for his younger self and then give it to him. And he said he would write, "It gets better." And it was just so tender and lovely. And it touched me. I think that's the stuff that I really carry and value the most. And it's always so positive. That's the thing, is nobody ever says, like in his case, you ask, like, what would you write on the banana peel? And he wouldn't write, like, you know, it's going to be horrible. Like, I like that when you look at the big picture, somehow it always comes out to be positive. Like, Claire had a similar answer when we asked her for advice, and she said, "It'll be fine. Like, whatever happens, it'll be fine." And then, and Helen Goh, kind of the same thing. She said, "Don't worry about making plans. Just be open." So, I feel like I've taken a lot of great life lessons.
I do feel, I feel like baking is a very optimistic medium, because if you gave up, I mean, it's so easy to quit with something as complicated. And if you continue to push yourself, and I think that's what it is, it's kind of a pushing, you know, obsession. You just got to keep going for the next level. And I like that it's, you know, pretty much all bakers have a touch of optimism.
Yeah, it's definitely a happy world. I mean, I always say happy baking, and I write emails and finish it with happy baking. And I hope that's not becoming so overused, but I truly feel like baking is such a joyful and happy process. But then the people in our baking world make it that much happier. Like, it's just a really great group of people to chat with. And you, Amanda, and Jeremiah, and just the joy you bring out when you interview people. And, you know, we're hoping and following down that same path of just bringing out advice that's more encouraging than it is technical in conversations. And it's just, I always leave these conversations with a smile on my face, so that I know we're in the right place when we're smiling as the process occurs. So, you know, jumping to that, we're obviously a new podcast and we want your wisdom. If you could give us any piece of advice for how we can brave this baking podcast realm, what would it be?
Oh my gosh. I feel like I'm the last person to ask for that. Even though we've made a ton of episodes, I'm just like, just go for it. Just like you guys are doing. I think the biggest difference in a good podcast and a bad podcast is one that just doesn't happen, or it does. It's such a like casual and new type medium. Like, I know that sounds like non-advice, but just do it and have fun. And if you think, oh, I want to do an episode where we're in the kitchen, try it out. Like, I don't think it's so formal. It's just this like new frontier where you can play and have fun. And I almost think like being overly polished can work against you, because people want to feel close. You're in their earbuds, like you're right there in their brain, or you're being blasted throughout their kitchen while they're baking. So I think just, you know, allow yourself to make mistakes. Don't feel like, you know, it's you're not on 2020 on the news and trying to, you know, be a newscaster or anything. That keeps people at arm's length, you know, distance away. So being vulnerable and having fun with it, you guys are on the right track. Like, I'm not worried about you at all. I know it's going to be spectacular. I've already been listening and loving. So my advice is keep doing it, you know?
Thank you for that. You know, what you said about doing a podcast episode from the kitchen, I actually have this vision in my mind of doing a podcast, doing an interview, and the mixer's going and the eggs are cracking, and I'm sure our sound and production team, they're thinking, oh my gosh, we're going to have so many noises. What are we going to ever do?
But they're in a cold sweat right now.
Yeah, I do think it would be a lot of fun to bring in those elements. And you know, we have Instagram where we look at the photos. We have videos we produce. We have the magazine. So I think bringing the noise of the kitchen in a unique way is really cool. So maybe one day, Amanda, you and I will be in the kitchen together having another chat, and we'll bake while we do that.
Let's make all the noise and all the mess and capture it. You're invited to my kitchen if you want kids screaming in the background. I can provide that as well.
Perfect. We'll add more to it. I love it.
So, Amanda, more about you. You're both an artist on traditional canvas and on cake. How do your two colorful worlds, one in paint and one in buttercream, intersect? Do you paint something and then hope to transfer it to cake or vice versa?
That's a great question. It's a very thoughtful question. So thank you for that. How do they intersect is interesting. So they're definitely both creative ventures. I feel like baking is really cool because it's so scientific. And then I think that's why I like the cake decorating, because you kind of get through the science part and the flavor part. And then you get to do something that's highly visual at the end, which is nice. So that transfers a lot with painting, as far as understanding how colors work together, composition, layout, kind of the rhythm of a visual piece. There's definitely a lot of overlap. But I will say I really like to compartmentalize, just in general, like in my life. I'm just that kind of person. And there's a lot of things that are appropriate for cake that are like really well suited for cake. But then there's other things for painting that are not so well suited for cake. So for now, and I never say never, like I may be piping on a canvas next week, you know, get out my cake piping tips and doing that. I'm not going to say that I'm not going to do that. And there are a lot of great artists that do. But for now, I really want to keep them separate, because for me, cake is celebratory. And I've definitely towed the line. Like, I've tried it. I think I had the urge to get certain things out of me that I tried to put on cake. But then it's like, nobody really wants to eat a cake where that you used as your canvas to get your rage out. Like, that's gross.
Like, the emotion. It's kind of saturated with the emotion. And you're tasting the emotion, which can be a little too much.
Exactly. Yeah. So I like to bake when I'm really in a happy place, a celebratory place. Things that, you know, I can enjoy with friends. And then, but then, you know, we're dynamic people. We're not just a one note person where it's like party all the time. Sometimes I'm really sad, or sometimes I just did a painting. I feel really shy a lot of the time, especially when I'm in a big group. And so I did a painting that was kind of highlighting the feeling of that being isolated within a group. And I don't want to eat that cake. I want to eat a cake that tastes like, you know, chocolate and caramel and like I said, peanut butter and jelly, like all the happy fun stuff. So for right now, I'm keeping them separate, but like I turn on a dime, truly. Mm. You might inspire me. Maybe later today I'll be piping. I don't know.
Well, I can tell you this, you and I share the peanut butter and jelly at our core. I just hearing you say peanut butter and jelly in our conversation, I'm like, God, I really want to eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I love it. And I love that you and I share that. I will say this. I think your art and your cakes are both so beautiful, and taking it down just to baking a little bit even more. I live to watch your cake decorating stories on Instagram, where you use color and different piping and it's not consistent from the left side to the right side. You let your art and your passion for creativity transfer to a cake in such an exciting way that I actually am always like, I cannot wait to see how this one's going to turn out in your Instagram feed. So you definitely have something really special with your cake decorating. And you even teach classes at Maker's Mess in Silver Lake, California, near close to where you live. So what are you hoping to teach creatives about cake decorating?
Well, I have to back up. You were so sweet to say that. That really means a lot. It's also very tender to me. I don't know if that always comes across, whether it's the cake or the painting, but it's both are highly emotional. So to hear you say that really, it means a lot. So thank you, Ryan. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
As far as the classes, what I hope to teach is, because it does mean so much to me, as much as I possibly can, I would like to give that to as many people as possible. So I always, like as a kid, I was super creative, always making things, having a blast. It was pure joy. And then as I grew up, I went to college for studio art, and a lot of what they were teaching me in class didn't feel like what I thought it was going to feel like. And I felt so sad. I was like, I'm not an artist. I thought I was an artist, but I'm not connecting with this in a career type of way. And so I lost it for a long time. And then coming back to it, baking totally brought me back into this creative zone. And so because I know what it feels like to have it and have the joy and then to lose it and then to regain it, I just want to give that to people through cake. And I think cake is so approachable. A lot of people who might say, oh, I'm not an artist, I'm not creative, they're not going to pick up paintbrushes, might feel more comfortable learning some piping techniques. So truly, I'm teaching people how to think like a kid, how to be brave, how to try things that they don't know if it's going to work out. That's the biggest thing with cake that I love, is that it's so disposable and it's so delicious that even if you royally screw it up in a visual way, you still come out with something wonderful because you still have a cake to eat. So that's what I'm hoping to teach people, just to be loose and chill out and try things that maybe feel a little scary, experiment, and then they come up with the most amazing ideas every time. Every single cake comes out. I mean, some are more appealing than others, but they all come out in a different way. Everyone accomplishes what they set out to do, which is really special to see.
I love it. And I, you know, it reminds me of when, you know, I can remember as a child, my mom would bake a cake and say, okay, let's decorate it for your dad's birthday celebration. And as a 3 or 4 year old, just taking those bags of, you know, pre-made icing that's at the grocery store and just squeezing them all over the cake as children do. And they're expressing their creativity. And you look at the photos now and you think, gosh, like that was not good. But in the eyes of the creative child, that, you know, I think we all can look at that and know that the love and creativity that went into it, but then the slice of cake was delicious. Mm-hmm. And then now you fast forward to adults that are passionate about baking and being artistic. And, you know, I find people constantly ask questions about, you know, how do I get smooth edges on a cake when I'm icing it? Or how do I, you know, pipe and decorate the way this looks? And my advice is always, if you can't master getting the smooth edge of icing, get the piping bag out and do some unique tips and patterns and things that cover the flaws you don't love, but they also add such an artistic element to the cake and make it your own and find things you love doing instead of stressing about things that make you feel, you know, like this isn't perfect or this doesn't look the way I wanted it to. And I think that's the beautiful thing about, you know, icing and decorating and piping, is that you find the creative beat you love and you do it so beautifully. And I'm glad you're teaching people. But yeah, I look back on those childhood cakes and I think, wow, mom had patience to let us just take the icing and put it all over.
But the pride was real. Like that pride is so real that it's almost irrelevant how the cake looked, don't you think?
Oh, like, absolutely.
How you felt about it is so real.
I know today that if my niece or nephew help me in the kitchen or they bring something that they made, it doesn't matter if there's 5 pounds of M&Ms on it and icing and, you know, everything they could think of. I happily and lovingly eat it because the smile on their face is huge and it makes me feel the love that we have for each other. So I totally get it. It's all creativity and expression of love.
Every day as a kid is discovery. And it's kind of easy to lose sight of that as an adult. And so I like the fact that tapping into your creativity for you with people learning to bake is becoming a kid again and tapping into every day something new, something amazing is happening.
All right. So
it makes it a good adventure.
Speaking of adventures and everyday things that make us smile, you are coming out with a cookbook soon. So clap hands. This is huge news. Give us information about it. Tell us some of the amazing things you've learned from creating and shooting and developing and thinking through the concept for your cookbook. Give us all the tidbits.
Okay. Yeah. So it's something I'm really excited to talk about and to share. And it's a long project. You guys know, like, cookbooks, you don't get the idea and then 2 weeks later you go, ta-da! Like, it's this long ride. So it'll probably be available in fall of 2020. That's kind of the latest. It may be finished a little before, but that'll be the deadline for me. So some of the details about it. As you would guess, it's cake. And it's heavy on designs. Yay, it's cake. It'd be kind of weird if I suddenly popped out with a brownie book right now, but
or stepped on Jeremiah's toes with a bread book.
Yeah, or guess what? I'm writing a Portuguese cookbook. Sorry, Jeremiah. I just got inspired. That would be terrible. So it's cake and it's heavy on designs, but delicious designs and easy to execute designs. I'm only using 3 piping tips for the whole book because I'm a very minimal equipment person. I keep everything very minimal. If I can find a different way to do something, I do. So I want it to be the kind of book that you could use if you have been baking for a super long time, or if you're just starting to build your collection. It's not going to be wildly expensive to try to make these designs. So very approachable. And then to me, because cake is made to be eaten and destroyed, I don't want to fuss over something and make it so sculptural and dramatic that one, it doesn't, you know, entice people to have cravings. So I want it to look delicious. And then I don't want it to take so long that then you're mad at people for chopping it up. So everything's really easy to accomplish, but super striking. So there's a cake gallery that's going to be in the book with all the completed cakes. There'll be a lot of completed cakes with full size pictures and then the recipes that go along. And then behind that, there'll be all the components. So there's kind of first a process section where I describe how I do designs and working with color and working with piping and just the basics of cake building equipment, that kind of thing. Then we go into the gallery so you can get really excited about the designs. And then after that, it breaks out into components, hopefully to encourage people also to make their own combos. Cause I don't feel like, you know, anyone should feel limited by, you know, if I've paired this one curd, it's tango mandarin curd and it's really exciting and fun. And I've paired it. It's a Tres Citricos cake. It's inspired by Los Angeles, everything's citrus. So it's got a lime buttercream and it's got a lemon buttercream and a lime cake. And then the mandarin curd that fills it. And that's the combo I've shown, but I'm totally happy if you want to take the mandarin curd and put it into a chocolate cake. So that's why I broke the back end up into components. So always that creativity piece. I want people to do their own thing.
I love that. I think that's something that home bakers need to see more of, is the possibilities with all of these different elements that we all bring recipes in the magazines and cookbooks and online, but you can pull an element from one you love and put it with something else that you also think the flavors will be a perfect combination for. And the same goes for technique. So I think it's really cool that you're breaking that down and showing elements and then how to mix and match those to create all these really unique cakes. I can't wait. So I will be patient for the fall of 2020.
Hang tight, stick with me. I'll keep throwing out sneak peeks on Instagram and teasing you. But you did ask about what I've learned and that kind of thing. And for me, it's the technical stuff. I find technology really challenging. So like working on the layout of the book and learning that program, like I first started like trying to create the pages and I'm going, but I want this picture to scoot over there. Like I wish I could just tell my computer like, scoot, you know, but it doesn't work that way. So learning like to type in the ratios and getting the photos to be technically good enough so that the resolution is nice, that kind of stuff has been fun to learn, but a little bit challenging. So,
well, and I think that's a great platform for us to at least mention here that you are self-publishing this book. So you're doing the creativity, the design, the layout, the photography, everything on your own, and not working with a publisher, which is really cool. And I think just speaks to the dedication you have to a true entrepreneurial journey with bringing this product to the market. So I applaud you. I think it's going to be amazing to hear your recap of what the experience was like going from start to finish, because that is truly unique.
All right.
Yeah, Amanda, thank you.
We're excited for
it. Okay.
So, for the lightning round, these are going to be quick fire questions with some, you know, shorter answers. They don't have to be like one word, but, you know, keeping it punctual. So you ready?
I'm ready. I you guys are with me on this. I'm Southern. It's really hard to be concise.
Oh,
but
it
I'll
is.
Do my best.
Yep, I know.
Yeah, that Southern short answer, you know, 2 or 3 minutes each.
Oh, so hard.
All right. Favorite frosting to decorate with?
Okay, so for a long time, it's been American buttercream. And I almost feel like I'm cheating on it a bit. But I would say right now, I'm about 50-50 American buttercream and Swiss meringue.
Ooh, nice. Classic. Yeah, that's a good one to share American buttercream with.
Sprinkles or no sprinkles?
That's really hard to answer. I'm going to say sprinkles because I definitely use sprinkles. But I'm not by default sprinkles. So if it makes sense, I use sprinkles. If it doesn't make sense, no sprinkles.
These are the kind of deep questions we have on Peaking Podcast. Finish this sentence. Finish this sentence. I can't bake without.
I can't bake without. Okay, the jerk in me is like an oven.
I can't bake without flour, eggs.
Yeah. Like I need, like, what are the basics of baking? But can I change it and say I can't decorate without?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. My offset spatula, it is like my hand. And like I said, I'm really careful about what equipment I bring into my kitchen. I don't just buy every single piece that catches my eye. And these are worth every penny. A small offset spatula, I can't decorate without.
One person you'd love to have on Flower Hour but haven't had on yet.
Ina Garten.
Oh, ooh, amen. Yeah.
The one thing you haven't...
She's my queen.
Oh, yeah. No, she is. The one thing you haven't yet baked but is on the bucket list.
So when we had Helen Go on, she mentioned that in the cookbook she co-wrote with Otto Lange Sweet, they have a rolled pavlova in there. So the meringue itself is baked in a way that it remains soft. I think there's extra cornstarch in there. Maybe it's the baking temperature and time is a little bit different, but you roll it like you would a jelly roll cake.
Yeah, it's a roulade, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm going, I've never made such a thing. So that really caught my eye, and it will happen this summer. So that's on my mind.
We will be keeping an eye out for that.
Yeah, I will happen to be maybe in Los Angeles the day you do, so I can have some. I'll coordinate my travel when you have that on the baking list.
Doesn't it sound so good? Like the soft meringue with whipped cream and fruit. She says use whatever fruit is seasonal. So
I love meringue anything. So you say meringue and I say absolutely. And then we just figure out how to incorporate it. So I think that sounds like a perfect summer bake.
Well, Amanda, we have so appreciated having you on. It's a pleasure. It's great to have somebody that, you know, has been in this realm of baking, podcasting, and getting your advice. And just there can never be enough baking talk. And we appreciate that you're sharing your world with us.
Well, thank you so much. It's a gift to me to be on, and I admire so much what you guys do and what you bring to the baking world. So to intersect with you guys is an honor. Thank you.
Well, we love that you're a friend of ours. I love being a guest on Flower Hour. We will have you and Jeremiah back on The Crumb. It's a happy baking world for sure. And I'm so glad we're friends. And most of all, thank you for being on today's episode.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
So amazing to talk with Amanda.
Awesome. Now I need to go bake some cake and try my hand at an artful masterpiece
It almost makes you want to just get a plain box mix, just make a regular cake, but then just play with buttercream and just experiment.
Yeah, I'll hear you on that play with buttercream. I can't bring myself to the
know,
box mix.
I know. It's sacrilege. Yes.
Yeah, it is.
So, Brian, what are you inspired by to continue baking on into the future this week?
So I guess I should stay with the cake theme. It's been on my mind a lot lately. I need to bake more cake. So I've kind of had a season that I've been away from it. And so I am loving the new book by Odette Williams. It's called Simple Cake. And it really resonates with me and my style of baking. I always talk about a love affair with one layer cakes and ways you can mix in and change the base recipe to do amazing things with that. And that is a tone that you see throughout Simple Cake as well. So I am definitely going to be diving in on Odette's book, and I'm just putting it out into the podcast waves, airwaves, that we should have Odette on the podcast. Yeah. So the cookbook is a part of our July-August cookbook roundup. In every issue of the magazine, we feature books that are new and noteworthy, and Simple Cake was definitely one that needed to make it into this stack of books. And I quickly snagged a copy, and it's sitting on my kitchen counter at home. I cannot wait to bake Simple Cake this weekend, possibly. What about you?
Well, our upcoming July-August issue has this amazing cover, which features this instant sourdough focaccia with these homegrown tomatoes. I have a plan for my homegrown tomatoes. So I've got cherry tomatoes that my parents gifted me, and I've been nourishing them and taking care of them. And I can't wait to use them for something with baking, because I feel like a lot of times the savory side of baking can be kind of forgotten. But this amazing Red Star yeast, which is it gives you that fluffy, amazing texture of any great platinum yeast product that they release. But then it's got that sourdough tang without having to, you know, because sometimes we don't have time to raise a sourdough starter like a child, you know, all the way through preschool and college.
It needs all that nurturing and love.
Yes. And so I can't wait to use that and like capture the best of both worlds and impress my mother with a like focaccia, because she wants more savory baking for me. So,
well, I have to give a shout out to our partners at Red Star and thank them for their support of our podcast. But even more than that, this amazing new platinum sourdough instant yeast product is so innovative, allowing a sourdough product to be made in minutes, basically. So I cannot wait to see your focaccia, where these tomatoes have their ultimate destination, and I know it's going to be amazing.
Oh, I can't wait to serve it up and post it around.
Well, you'll have to bring a slice for me for sure.
Always.
All right. Well, it's been an amazing chat today, and I'm so thankful that Amanda joined us on the Crumb. We have so much to learn from her. And in our next episode, we are going to chat with her co-host, Jeremiah. So we're going to keep the dialogue alive with them and our friends at Flower Hour. It was so great to chat with Amanda today, and so nice to chat with you as always, Kyle Grace.
Ditto, Brian. Everybody, tune in next week.
Until then, happy baking.
If you liked our podcast, please rate, subscribe, and tell a friend about us. To keep up with all of our baking endeavors, follow our editor-in-chief and co-host, Brian, on Instagram at Brian Hart Hoffman. You can follow Bake From Scratch on Instagram at The Bake Feed. For online recipes and fresh baking content, go to our website, bakefromscratch.com, and sign up for our newsletter, Preheat. Finally, for in-real-life baking inspiration, grab our magazine on newsstands or subscribe through our website.